It is a joy to welcome new friends into the church through new life in baptism and the remembrance of baptism. I'm not done with all the rest of you yet. You'll remember your baptism by the time I'm done with you. It is good to ponder the power of our connections, our gifts, all of those unique individual gifts that make us a part of the church. How they give us life and how they give us hope. So today we're going to hear, I have to admit, a relatively deep cut in the book of Acts. This is not one that, you know, easily springs to mind. And that's a bit sad because I think it's very interesting and has a few things to say to us this day. You'll hear in it the story of someone who used their gifts within the church. And so it kind of made me think about, actually, where I'm preaching from today. If you haven't gotten a chance to come up here and check it out, I went back a couple weeks ago to close my home church that my parents were members of. That church felt a strong connection and a strong belief that they wanted to gift this congregation with some things. And so they sent along this Bible stand. It was made by a guy named John Kordak, who is a carpenter. And he built railings for the church. And he built this Bible stand. He actually built some bookcases in my childhood living room. And he is gone now. And Redeemer is no longer worshiping as a community. But they wanted some piece of their spirit to be in this room with us. And so I'm thankful for this gift. And if you want to come up and check it out at any point, you should. This story from Acts is not a Jesus resurrection story for the season of Easter. It is another kind of new life. So this story comes just before the Apostle Peter is transformed. He's transformed by his ministry being dramatically expanded, calling him to not just serve Jewish communities, but all those who might want to know and follow Jesus. But just before that happens, Peter is called to a community in grief. And there he hears an amazing story of a woman who is called by many names and who shared many gifts. So hear these words.
And the scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 9. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Here ends the scripture reading.
So did you hear the really tricky word, the really important word about Tabitha? Well, you heard that she has multiple names. She's Tabitha to her Jewish friends. She is Dorcas to her Greek friends. But she has something else that she's named in this scripture. The Greek word is mathetria. It's disciple. It's a word that doesn't appear anywhere else in the New Testament in the feminine form. Tabitha is a woman and is a disciple. So if anybody ever wants to talk to you about how women can't be leaders in the church or anything like that, just say Tabitha. Or if you were in Greece, say Dorcas. Tabitha is a full disciple. She served and ministered so faithfully to her community, by the way, that when she died, they first gave her all due honor and washed her body and laid her gently. But then they went running to Peter, the highest ranking church official they could find, to come and honor her and to bear witness to their grief. And so what we hear about is this community that Tabitha served so faithfully. Particularly, we hear about widows and orphans. And so if it's been a while since we've said this, widows and orphans are otherwise known as any group in the Bible where people are not cared for. They are kind of excluded. By the way that society functioned, if you were a widow or an orphan, you did not have any support system. And so Tabitha's ministry, especially to them, to those who were without definition in the society, those without family connections and resources, she was doing the ministry of Jesus. So as Peter walks into the house, he sees the very people that Jesus came to sit with all the time. And they show him Tabitha. And they show him by showing clothes a lot. They lift up articles of clothing that Tabitha had made for them. They show how she literally used her hands to wrap them in care and love. This is not a story about stuff, though. This is a story about how we touch and we shape lives. And how sometimes stuff may be kind of the tender residue of that real, true impact. Sometimes love comes creeping in through the gifts we gift people with and the ways we use our gifts. And so I went straight to the source this week. I went to the knitting group. And you should too if you ever have the chance. I go every week for a little bit. You got to check in with the knitting group. I asked them who they had made things for. They told me about knitting clothes for children and grandchildren to treasure through their lives, nephews and nieces, the whole array. They told me about the tenderness of making prayer shawls, about making blankets. Some actually had made blankets that would hold a stillborn child as their parents grieved over their baby. And that blanket would stay with that family through all the weavings and complexities of grief and sadness. They talked about knitting soft prosthetics for women who have had mastectomies in the midst of battles with breast cancer. I asked them who taught them this. They told me about grandmothers, about mothers, about friends. They told me about members of this very church who sat down with them and taught them things. So somebody at a new members meeting recently said, well, I don't knit, so I don't have to worry about the knitting group. I said, well, we could fix that. And that group, they show me every week how much it matters to them to gather together and keep knitting. They made me think of this prayer stole, I'm going to say, which is just, well, it was made for me by an intern who served at my last church. She's a wonderful pastor and servant of the church now, but she was a Baptist seminary student then who couldn't find a place to serve her intern year because many local congregations still weren't ready to accept the leadership of a woman. I think Tabitha would know a thing or two about that. And I give thanks. It is this color because she knows my color scheme. We might critique the fact that Tabitha is known through a form of ministry in which, well, maybe we're more comfortable saying, well, that was women's work to make clothing or whatever. And I would actually say, maybe what has happened is that Tabitha has overcome the strictures of her society to make everything she does into ministry. Like those beloved members of Tabitha's congregation, we can sometimes be overwhelmed by all the tender stories behind the things of our lives, how each one points to the ways someone has wrapped us up, or comforted us, or held up the word of God for us. Now, this is not a story about stuff, remember, but this is a story about how we touch and shape lives. This is about how we take our gifts and our talents, and I swear, each of you have gifts and talents, and make them ways to share the heart of Christ. Sometimes people need things, the basics, like those widows and orphans that Tabitha clothed. Sometimes we simply need to know that someone loves and cares for us enough to send along a gift, to think of us with each knit and purl. This is also a story about how the people we touch and the gifts we share carry the imprint of our lives. In their grief, the friends of Tabitha held up all the ways that she had held them up, wrapped them up, clothed them with honor and dignity. And as the Apostle Peter walks in, it's the first hint that this is a story of a disciple named Tabitha, which is not at an end. Even if she did not rise up out of that bed, she would not cease to be alive. She would be alive in all of those hearts and hands, alive in the teaching that she had shared with her community, because you just know every single one of those people who received those pieces of clothing from Tabitha went on to share another piece of clothing with someone else. Alive in their hearts and hands, alive in that teaching that she had shared with them. And so it is here. Here in this congregation, we celebrate and give thanks for all the gifts you have and all the gifts you are. We give thanks that you join this congregation and bring those gifts to our common life and our common prayer. And here we get to challenge one another to discover how our gifts may show the love of Christ. Whether it be through a rake, thank you everybody last weekend. Whether it be knitting downstairs every week, a little bit at a time. On this day, which many will celebrate as Mother's Day, but many will also know as a very complex and sometimes painful day, I give thanks for those disciples in the lineage of Tabitha, which is to say, those women who led and taught and clothed me through life and ministry, through joy and sorrow. And I give thanks for the chance for all of us to do the same for others, ensuring that the Spirit lives on for all. Tabitha was a disciple through and through, who showed the love and life of the risen Christ in any way she could. And so, in the end, she could not help but rise. May we rise to life and love the same. Amen.